Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Blue Jays From Away podcast, episode 10. This week we've got a full minor league roundup for all seven Blue Jays minor league affiliates and a special New Hampshire Fisher Cats edition of The Conversation, where we speak to Jays prospects Kevin Nolan, Adam Lowen, Sean Nolan, and Marcus Stroman. So sit back, ladies and gentlemen, take a listen and get your Blue Jays on. It's the Blue Jays From Away podcast. And now the minor league roundup. The full slate of minor league affiliates are up and running, so there's lots of news to talk about. In the last 2 weeks, the Buffalo Bisons have hovered around the 500 mark, and they're there now with a 43-43 record in the International League. The Herd sits in third place in the North Division, 9 games behind the Pawtucket Red Sox, who are starting to run away from the pack. The biggest story in Buffalo since our last podcast is the performance of outfielder Kevin Pillar. Since being promoted from New Hampshire, all Pillar has done is hit .373 with a .413 on-base percentage and .678 slugging percentage with 9 doubles and 3 home runs. Jim Negrich has slipped in the International League batting race to fourth, with Rochester's Chris Colabello hitting .359 and Negrich down to .327. While first baseman Mauro Gomez continues to lead the league in home runs with 24. The New Hampshire Fisher Cats are now 40-45 and in second last place in the Eastern League Eastern Division. With the All-Star Game coming up, the Fisher Cats send 3 players to the game, shortstop Kevin Nolan, outfielder Brad Glenn, and pitcher Sean Nolan, while catcher A.J. Jimenez was selected to the MILB Minor League Baseball's Futures Game on Sunday before the MLB All-Star Game. Since returning to the Fisher Cats, Jimenez has been outstanding. It is 20 games back in AA, where he started last year before an injury to his elbow required Tommy John surgery. He has hit in every game except for 2 and is punishing pitchers to the tune of a .390 batting average. With only 3 walks and 8 doubles, his OBP is only .409 and his slugging percentage is .488, and that gives him an ISO of .098, which is lower than he had last year. He also has a higher strikeout percentage than he did last season in slightly more at-bats and a lower walk percentage. On the pitching side of things, Sean Nolan and Marcus Stroman have been a very good 1-2 punch, with Stroman tying a club record of 13 strikeouts in his last start. Both are striking out more than a batter per inning while limiting walks, while Stroman has given up quite a few more home runs than Nolan and will look to improve that number over the remainder of the season. The Dunedin Blue Jays have gotten off to a 5-7 start over the second half and sit in 5th place in their division, 3 games behind leaders Daytona Cubs. While the pitching continues to be the strength of the Blue Jays, their hitting is just not up to form. When you look at the OPS leaders for the team, the top 6 players are all guys who were either on rehab assignments, like Brett Laurie or Jose Reyes, or who have been shipped out to other teams, like Andy Burns and A.J. Jimenez. Mike Krause is the current OPS leader for the Dunedin Blue Jays at .778, and right behind him is first baseman Gabe Jacobo, who has been hot of late. It's a little bit depressing to realize that the team's home run leader, Casey Hobson, who has a respectable 11 bombs, but the next highest total comes from Marcus Kinect with 5. Gustavo Pierre, promoted when Andy Burns was promoted to New Hampshire, came out of the gate strong but has since faded and is now hitting .175 with Dunedin. He still hasn't taken a walk, which is not a surprise, but the fielding doesn't appear to be any worse than it was in Lansing. The good news on the pitching side is that Aaron Sanchez is back and has been very effective since his return, despite pitching under a very watchful eye from the staff and a strict pitch count. His longest outing since his return has been only 4 innings. While his walks have been up since coming back, they're not out of control. Jesse Hernandez has also returned from an injury with 3 starts to mixed results, but his last start was 7 innings, so he's back out there without any training wheels. The Lansing Lugnuts haven't been able to sustain any sort of winning ways and are 2-12 in the second half of the season, sitting in the basement of the Midwest League Eastern Division. The pitching hasn't been good at all, with everyone getting roughed up on occasion, even Roberto Osuna, who's had two great starts after returning from his injury, but has been hit hard in his last three. I was told by some bloggers in Lansing, Chad Hillman and Brian Crawford, that they don't think it's an injury issue. They told me that his changeup, his bread-and-butter pitch, hasn't been sharp, and he hasn't been locating the ball well. Catcher Santiago Nesi is back from his injury, and despite costing his team a walk-off win with a truly heinous base-running mistake, he's been hitting about the same as he has been all year, with perhaps a little more power. He hit his first home run of the season this week, but has a .217 batting average over the past 7 days. Second baseman Christian Lopes has been slumping badly, hitting .228 in June, while Dalton Pompey has rebounded from an awful May with an excellent June and a great start to July. Pompey has an astounding 27 stolen bases while being caught only 3 times, but even more encouraging, he hit .296 in June with 3 doubles and 4 triples and is off to a .412 start with 1 double and 1 triple in July. His .394 June on-base percentage was outstanding, doing exactly what a player with such good speed and base-stealing skills needs to do. Finally, Dwight Smith Jr. had a June swoon, hitting .242, but had a monthly high of 5 doubles and also hit a home run. He has also been very efficient stealing bases with 16 swipes in 19 attempts. Down in short season A-ball, the Vancouver Canadiens sit at 13-8, good for second place in the Northwest League North Division, 2 games behind the Everett Aqua Sox. The team's batting leaders include Peterborough-born catcher Michael Reeves, who is hitting .395 despite not showing much power at all. He has walked 10 times and has an OBP of .531 and has even stolen 2 bases. First baseman Jordan Leyland has one of the team's 4 home runs to go along with a .372 batting average. Despite more than double Reeves at bats, he only has 1 more walk than the catcher, but does lead the team with 11. Shortstop Dickie Thaun has been hitting better in the last week or so despite leading the team with 22 strikeouts. Other than Reeves and Leyland, no one on the team has an OPS over 700, although 2013 draftee Brendan Kalfas is close at .698. The pitching is what's getting the job done for the Seas, and they're led by Thunder Bay native Eric Brown and 2011 second-round draft pick Jeremy Gabareski. While Brown is 24 and fairly old for his level, he's performing at an ace level. Through 5 starts, he has a 1.26 ERA with a 1.05 whip and 21 strikeouts to 6 walks in 28 and two-thirds innings. Gabareski is plowing through Northwest League hitters at the ripe old age of 20 with a 1.17 ERA and a 0.70 whip, mainly due to only 15 hits and 1 walk against in 23 innings. The biggest knock against Gabby is that his low strikeout rate of 10 Ks in 23 innings. This has plagued him since last year, and I'm sure the Jays are hoping that he discovers a little more bite on his breaking stuff to go along with what I've heard is 93-mile-per-hour heat. Further down below, in the Rookie League Appalachian League, the Bluefield Blue Jays are the class of the league, leading the East Division by 3.5 games, already with a 10-3 record that's built on a 7-game winning streak that is still active as of today. The Bluefield Club features some of the Jays' top prospects, including some power bats and power arms. On the hitting side, newly drafted Jonathan Davis leads the team with a .364 batting average, but it's Mitch Ney that's really making waves. A first rounder last year, he didn't play due to injury, but is showing off his bat with a .356 average, a .431 OBP, and a .467 slugging percentage. He has 2 doubles and a home run in his 51 plate appearances, and is making things look easy in the Appy League. Shortstop Doel Lugo was a high-profile international free agent signed back in 2011 and had an okay season last year in the GCL. This year, however, he's off to a .320 start and already has 2 home runs and 4 doubles. He has only taken 1 walk, but his 8 strikeouts is a very reasonable number. Outfielder DJ Davis hasn't made a lot of noise, but he's been fairly consistent, hitting almost every day. He's hitting .294, .357, .529, but the big number for him is the 5 triples that he's already hit. One concern is the high strikeout rate. He's second on the team with 13 Ks and has only taken 3 walks. Outfielder Eric Arce leads the club in home runs with 3, and he has already pigeonholed himself as a 3 true outcome player with 7 walks and 11 strikeouts already. On the pitching side, the team is loaded with prospects. Jairo Labor is currently the team's leader with 12 innings pitched, and he holds a very tidy 0.75 ERA. His whip of 0.83 is also outstanding, and he's only walked 4 batters and struck out 13. Despite a much higher ERA at 3.75, Canadian Shane Dawson has a minuscule 0.58 whip built around only 2 walks, and he struck out 13 in his 12 innings. Chase DeJong and Alberto Tirado each have 11 strikeouts, but DeJong has given up more hits and walked only 2, while Tirado has walked more but given up fewer hits. While their whips are very close, DeJong's 3.27 ERA is much higher than Tirado's 1.74, mainly due to the fact that DeJong has given up a home run, whereas Tirado hasn't. Finally, the Gulf Coast League Blue Jays are now underway, and the team is 5-5. The team's best hitter so far is Franklin Barreto, a 17-year-old Venezuelan shortstop that the Blue Jays signed in last year's international free agent market. Barreto is hitting .361 with 2 doubles and has walked 6 times to 5 strikeouts. He also leads the team with 7 errors, which leads one to believe that either the Jays will take their time with his development or he'll be moved off of the shortstop position at some point in the future. Catcher Andres Sotillo has also been hitting well, going 8-for-24, but all 8 hits are for singles. Outfielder Andres Diaza is second on the team in total bases and has a home run and a double, but has struck out 10 times to 2 walks. Canadian Nathan D'Souza had a big game the other day, but is only hitting .182 with that one home run that he has. On the pitching side, Venezuelan Alejandro Solarte has a 0.87 ERA in just over 10 innings, without walking anyone, and with 7 strikeouts. He's the only pitcher in double-digit inning totals, so there's not much we can tell you, although Phil Kish, an undrafted free agent college senior, is dominating GCL hitters with 11 strikeouts and 1 walk in 6 2/3 innings. Big lefty Matthew Smorrell has gotten into 2 games and pitched 2 1/3 innings without doing much to write home about, but we'll keep a close eye on him in the future. That's all for the minor league roundup. Now it's time for the conversation with interviews from my time last weekend in Manchester, New Hampshire, the home of the Blue Jays AA affiliate, New Hampshire Fisher Cats. Welcome back to the Blue Jays from Away podcast. I'm here with shortstop for the New Hampshire Fisher Cats, Kevin Nolan. Kevin, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you.
So, Kevin, we wanted to ask you, first of all, a lot has been made and you're being sort of the face of the Fisher Cats this year because you're a local boy. You grew up in Nashua, New Hampshire. What's it like playing at home and being able to be right where you're from and be playing professional baseball at this level?
It's nice. It's very nice being back in New Hampshire and playing close to home. I know it's great for my family. They really enjoy coming to the games, and it's nice to sleep in my own bed and get some home-cooked meals. So it's been a fun experience.
And when you come to the ballpark here, are the fans cheering a little bit more for you than some of the other Fisher Cats?
I hear a few cheers, you know, a few Nashua, go Nashua and stuff. So it's been nice. They've been good fans.
Now, is that just because you're having a good season and the ball's dropping for you, or is that just because you're a local boy?
I don't know. I'm sure it helps that I'm swinging it all right now, but it's been nice.
And speaking of swinging it all right, you've just been named to the Eastern League Eastern Division All-Star team. What's that like?
It's very nice. You know, I'm very grateful to be selected to that. Looking forward to going to New Britain and playing in the All-Star game, and it's exciting.
Now, let's talk a little bit about baseball rather than all the other things about around the game. What do you think so far this year has really fallen into place for you in terms of on the field?
It's nice to be playing shortstop every day and just getting an opportunity to play. And I know last year was a great year, but then I hurt myself at the end of the year, so I missed the last couple months of the season. So I'm just happy to be back out there and be healthy and being able to play. So it's been nice.
And I've noticed that you're very smooth on the infield. Is that natural, or have you really worked on that and working on the footwork and the throwing at shortstop?
It's been a lot of work. Probably a little bit of both. God has blessed me with a lot of talent, and now I'm just trying to keep working hard and get better at some of my weaknesses, and it's been a lot of work, a lot of years, out there taking ground balls, and a lot of hard work, but I've been blessed, so it's been nice.
Now, when you're at the plate, what are you looking for when the pitcher is throwing the ball? Like, what are you looking for? Balls in a certain place? Are you trying to work on certain things like hitting off-speed pitches or staying back? What's going through your head before you step into the box? Because I'm sure you probably don't want to think too much when you get into the box.
Yeah, I try to simplify it. A long time, even from high school, talking to my dad and then all my hitting coaches come to now, just really try to simplify it, look fastball and react. Because a lot of times for me personally, if I start thinking pitches and guessing pitches, I get into trouble. So I try to just look fastball and react and just try to hit it hard somewhere.
Well, you certainly hit it hard quite a few times this year. And is that going through your head last night? Especially, I saw you guys playing the Portland Sea Dogs, the AA affiliate of the Boston Red Sox, and they've got a pitcher who's a little bit unusual for some of you guys in Charlie Hager, who's a knuckleballer. What's going through your head when you're facing a knuckleballer and maybe even just trying to get the bat on the ball?
Pretty much that, just trying to see the ball and try to find the barrel and get it in play. It was dancing pretty good last night. He had it moving good, and we got him a few times, but we didn't get those runs on the board that we needed. But he pitched well last night. It's not easy hitting a knuckleball.
Is it a relief to go back to hitting a more conventional pitcher tonight?
I think so. It's nicer seeing some straight fastballs and some sliders instead of a ball dancing all over the place.
And going into the rest of the season, first you've got the All-Star game coming up. Obviously, you don't want to look too far ahead. But what are you looking at, and what are you trying to work on? What are you trying to improve this year?
Right now as a team, we're trying to get to that division, make the playoffs. We're, I want to say, four games back right now, and Portland, is ahead of us right now. So these next two games will be pretty big for us to play against them. So hopefully we can get these next two games. But, as a team, we're doing really well as a chemistry. A lot of the guys get along real well, and lately we've been swinging the bats well and pitching well. So hopefully we can keep winning and keep having that go well and keep winning.
Winning always makes everything better.
Yeah.
Who do you think is the most talented guy you've played with?
This year, Kevin Pillar. He's a very talented ball player. He all aspects of the game, defensively and hitting. He's done very well this year, and he has a bright future. He's a hard worker, so I wish him the best. He's a good teammate.
And hopefully you're just as hard of a worker, and you'll have just as much success. Thanks to Kevin Nolan, shortstop for the New Hampshire Fisher Cats and Eastern League All-Star. Next, we spoke to pitcher Sean Nolan. Welcome back to the Blue Jays from Away podcast. I'm here with Sean Nolan, pitcher for the New Hampshire Fisher Cats. Sean, welcome to the podcast.
Nice. Thanks for having me.
Now, you're the second Nolan we've had on the podcast. We talked to Kevin Nolan yesterday. Obviously, a different spelling. But I'd like to ask you a few things. First of all, you've had a really eventful season, starting with a slight injury that kept you out of action from the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
What was it like when you were down in Dunedin rehabbing and working through that injury?
I just knew I needed to get healthy and do whatever I could to be able to play. I did three times a day treatment, just getting everything stronger, so I'm ready for the season.
And you obviously were ready for the season because you came out like gangbusters pitching here in New Hampshire. What was it like coming out for the first game action of the year and getting up there and getting on the hill and facing live opponents?
It was definitely not nerve-wracking, but I was definitely excited. I was a month late than everyone else, but it was the start of my season, so I had a little butterflies. But, doesn't really matter where I am. That first game, you just get the nerves out. But after that, I've been feeling real good. So
now you actually were I don't know if it's lucky because you've had a lot of hard work and you've put in a lot of work to get there. So you got a call by the Blue Jays and you went up to make a start in Toronto. So can you tell our listeners what that was like?
It was awesome. It's definitely a dream come true getting called up, but might not have worked out the way I wanted to, but sometimes it goes that way, you know. It was the first outing, so I'm not too worried about it now. I've come back, I've thrown a few good games, and I'm just trying to get back up there.
Now, I spoke to Tom Signor, and he was saying that that might be one of the best learning experiences for you, was going up to the majors and seeing what the competition is like up there. Is that an accurate statement?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, they're in the big leagues. Obviously, they're the best hitters, best pitchers up there right now, and definitely a little nervous going in, and I definitely struggled a little bit, but they hit mistakes, and that's what they're going to do there, so I knew that.
And what does that leave for you to learn for the rest of the season and even into next year?
Just to be able to focus even more than I was. You know, I feel my double-A experience, I've been focused, and then getting the call up, I might have been a little nervous and out of focus, but not a bad nervous or excited, maybe a little overexcited, but just to be able to tell myself that it's still baseball, it's still 60 feet, 6 inches, and it's the same everywhere, so I just got to be able to focus and do that.
Now, we'd also like to congratulate you on your naming to the All-Star team here in the Eastern League, and that game is coming up fairly soon. How do you feel about that?
I mean, definitely excited. It's great being an All-Star, but just going to do the same thing I've been doing, I guess, the whole season, you know?
Would you prefer to have a little bit of time off, or is it always an exciting thing to go to an All-Star game?
This would be my first one. I got the All-Stars last year, but I ended up getting hurt in the middle of the season, so I wasn't able to go. But I feel like days off sometimes during the season might actually hurt you a little bit because you get a little out of routine. So staying with baseball, I guess, for the All-Star break will be all right. It'll definitely be a little more relaxed than, I guess, during the season. So
great. I just want to ask you one thing about, you know, pitching and who you are as a pitcher. Can you tell our listeners who you are as a pitcher, and when we see Sean Nolan in Toronto next time, what are you going to bring?
Definitely more of an intense guy, you know. I go after batters, and that's just how my game is, I guess, that when I throw. But definitely just intense, I guess, would be one thing. Positive intense, most likely.
And what kind of pitches are you throwing? What's your repertoire?
Fastball, slider, curveball, changeup. So four pitches.
Fairly standard for a starter.
Definitely. Yeah.
Well, great. I'd like to thank you for taking some time out and talking to us. And we wish you the best of luck. A couple more starts before the All-Star break, we think. And
Definitely.
We wish you the best of luck. And
hopefully
we'll see you back in Toronto soon.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
If you've been following the Blue Jays and their minor league teams, you'll definitely know the name Marcus Stroman. The first-round pick from 2012 tied a New Hampshire Fisher Cats record with 13 strikeouts on Tuesday, and some bloggers have expressed a desire to see Stroman come up to the big leagues for a start on July 7th. I caught up with him last Sunday in Manchester, New Hampshire. Marcus, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So, Marcus, you've sort of had a meteoric rise through the organization. You pitched a little bit in Vancouver last year, and now you're here in New Hampshire where you finished last year. What's it been like, first of all, pitching in Vancouver, and how do you like Manchester, New Hampshire?
Well, my first experience in pro ball was Vancouver, which was pretty amazing because that's probably one of the nicest cities I've been to. And to just go out there and play in front of a sold-out crowd basically every night where everyone loves baseball was fun. I only got to be there for probably 2.5-3 weeks before I got promoted to Manchester. But I loved it here, too. The clubhouse here is unbelievable. It's a small city. It's more quiet than Vancouver, but I love every bit of it.
And Manchester, it's a very different climate as well, being up here in the Northeast. And what's it like being here pitching in Manchester, sort of in the heart of Red Sox country?
Well, growing up, I'm from Long Island, New York, so growing up I was actually a Yankee fan. It's tough, but, I mean, it is what it is. You kind of just go out there, and it's fun. As long as there's a crowd, like especially when we play Portland, we get a huge crowd, sellout crowd. So it's fun when you have a bunch of people in the stands, regardless of who they're cheering for. Just the ability just to throw in front of that many people each outing is fun.
Great. And we know that you went to Duke, and you were a starting pitcher as well as a closer for the Duke Blue Devils.
Yeah.
Which role do you prefer?
I get that question almost every day. I really don't have a preference. it's kind of just whatever the Blue Jays want me to do, and wherever they see there's a need, I feel like I can fit in that, into that role. I feel like I've had really good experience starting as well as relieving, and I feel like I can settle into either role. I've enjoyed my time here being a starter and kind of being able to develop all my pitches and kind of being able to fall into a starter's routine and know when I'm going to throw, know when I can work out. But then on the other side, I like that bulldog mentality you need to have when you come in for an eighth or ninth inning of a game. So it's kind of whatever they need. I'll do whatever.
Now, speaking of those pitches that you're developing, mm-hmm. what are you working on in particular? What pitch? We know that you've got a great slider. We know you have a great fastball mm-hmm. in the low to mid-90s. And that slider, I saw you pitch a little bit in spring training. Yeah. And even in spring training that early, that slider looked really nasty. So what else are you working on now?
I've been really trying to throw my changeup more. It's a huge pitch, especially for a starter to have. So I've really been working on that, as well as a true curveball. I kind of throw like a slurve. It's in between a slider and a curve. I've been trying to get that more 12-6. And then I've been trying to make my slider smaller and harder, a little more depth to it. So it's just little things that I'm working on with my game. Just as long as I feel like I'm around the plate, I feel like I can be effective. But it's definitely those little things you got to work on so you can be successful at the next level, not only here.
And finally, before we go, I don't want to take too much of your time, but you're well known for being very active on Twitter, as well as your HDMH, height doesn't measure heart, slogan. We're standing here. I'm not very tall, and you're maybe an inch taller than I am. So what does it feel like to be a guy who, you know, in a game where pitchers are being drafted at, you know, 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", you know, being someone who may not be that tall, but can really bring it. What message are you trying to get out?
Just the fact that to every undersized athlete out there that you don't have to fit the stereotypical mold that every scout or every person who has a say in the professional sports world likes. You know what I mean? So being undersized, I've gotten that my whole life, that I wouldn't be able to start, I wouldn't be able to play in college, and that was just based off my height and my size. So I've used that as a chip on my shoulder my entire career, and I will continue to do so. And I'm just trying to get that message out because I know people can get discouraged. I've had many people reach out to me on Twitter, athletes who say, scouts say that they can't be this or can't be that, just purely based off height and size. And I think that's complete the wrong thing. And I couldn't be that doesn't fire me up more than anything, because that's kind of what fueled me and kind of pushed me to this day to make it to the big league. So I don't believe in stereotypes at all. I think if you can do the same things that someone 6'4 can do, if you could do it just as good, if not better, then why not? Why can't you pitch at that level, or why can't you go Division I, or why can't you be a first rounder? So that's definitely the fuel of my fire, and it's something I still battle this day. And it's going to be something I continue to battle, but it's only going to make me work harder, and when I get there, I'll get there, and hopefully I can stay there.
And one last question. Is there a sort of a smaller guy fraternity in the Blue Jays organization, guys that you've hung out with, guys that you've talked to, just sort of like this brotherhood of guys who have always been working against the odds to make it work to where they are and to go even further?
I wouldn't say so. I definitely know I'm probably one of the smallest, if not the smallest pitcher in the organization. But you have guys who are, I'm around 5'7", 5'8". You have guys like Marcus Walden, who's 5'5", 5'10", who has unbelievable success day in and day out. And I like talking to him because he's a completely different pitcher than I am, and it's good to pick his mind because he's a sinker baller. And that's actually something I try to implement at times in games, so it's good having different points of view. But overall, I wouldn't say there's a committee of smaller guys. Most of them are bigger, but it's no problem to me. It's something that I've dealt with my whole career, so it's nothing new.
Well, I have to tell you, one of my favorite guys, I was down in Lansing earlier in the year, one of my favorite guys is Jorge Flores, who's about 5'5", and actually hit a home run, I believe, last week.
Yeah.
I've seen him in person hit a ball to the outfield fence in Lansing, which is about 408 feet away. And so for a guy his size to be able to hit the ball as hard as he does, I think, you know, height doesn't measure his heart, or it doesn't measure his power either.
Yeah, Jorge, I played with Jorge in Vancouver, and he's unbelievable. I think he's going to be a great player. He'll work his way through the system, and he was actually one of the first people I had who was rocking some of my shirts, the HDMH shirts, down in spring training. He came up to me and asked for one, and he wore it every day while he was working out, because he's the same guy, man. He's very undersized, but height doesn't measure. You can't. Talent's talent. So being undersized, he does things that any guy at any size can do. He hits the ball with far. He hits for average. He picks it. He has a strong arm. You know what I mean? So that just shows you that there's kids, there's athletes out there who can break the stereotype and don't have to fit the mold that everybody wants them to be.
Not to harp on it too much, but Ryan Schimpf is another guy who's like that. He hit his 15th home run of the year last night.
Yeah.
And definitely has a lot of power despite not having the biggest frame.
Yeah, Schimpf is undersized, but he's got some serious juice in his bat. There he is right there, actually. he definitely fits. He's not that tall, see? He definitely fits the mold of height, HDMH. When he squares a ball up, it goes just as far as I've seen anyone hit it. And he's, what has he got, 15 now? 14? 15? 15 bombs. We're not at the All-Star break yet, so he's having a great year.
Absolutely. And I just want to thank you for your time, Marcus.
Yep.
And this is Marcus Stroman, the starting pitcher for the New Hampshire Fisher Cats.
The last interview we have for you was with BC native outfielder Adam Loewen. Loewen should be well known to Canadian baseball fans, having started a career as a pitcher before injuries forced him to convert himself into a hitter. Adam has played in the World Baseball Classic for Team Canada twice, once as a pitcher and once as a hitter, and we asked him about that, as well as his taking over center field and the leadoff spot in the batting order from Kevin Pillar, who was just promoted to Buffalo.
Adam, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So, Adam, you've had a long, long journey through baseball, professional baseball. Started off as a pitcher, and injuries sort of forced you out of that role. Now that you're back in the Blue Jays organization, how does it feel to be here in New Hampshire playing every day pretty much now and getting your hacks in?
It feels great. I'm very blessed to be part of this organization. It's been my favorite all along. And I had that 1 year hiatus last year, and then I came back and just felt really comfortable with all the coaching staff and pretty much everything. Just felt comfortable, and this is where I've always wanted to be, and I'm just glad to be back here.
I want to ask a little bit about last night, because last night you guys faced a very unusual pitcher. You were facing Charlie Hager, a knuckleballer. What was it like going up there and trying to get some hits off of a pitcher who's throwing a lot slower than you're used to, and the ball, you have no idea where it's going to go?
It's kind of like trying to hit a butterfly. And he was throwing strikes with it yesterday, which made it really effective. And the last two times we faced him this year, he probably walked five guys each time, and that just made it a little easier for us to hit it. But he was throwing strikes yesterday, which made it really effective, and he threw a great game.
And I've been asked by one of my colleagues at Jays Journal, he wants to know, how does it feel to hit leadoff?
It's different, but I mean, I try to keep the same approach as I have this last couple weeks because it's been working, and try to have the best at bats that I can to start off the game. I don't want to make early outs and just to lead off the game. But after that at bat's over, it's pretty much just like hitting anywhere else.
Right, and you mentioned that you've been feeling a lot better at the plate. I spoke to Tom Gauthier several weeks ago, and your name came up in the conversation because you seem to have had a slow start, but we're really starting to gain momentum in the past several weeks. Is there any changes you've made, or is that just getting more comfortable in the environment?
I don't know what it is, but I always start off slow. I think I've done it all 5 years. I've been a position player. April and May have proven tough for me, so you know, that's something I'll have to look into going into next year. But you know, June and July are always good for me, so I just want to take advantage of it while I can and try to just get a little more consistent throughout the year rather than going hot streaks and then get really cold. I just want to be a consistent player, and I think if I do that, I'll find myself in the lineup a little bit more.
Now, I can't let you go without asking you about the World Baseball Classic and that game against Mexico in particular. What's going through your head when all heck breaks loose on that diamond?
Well, that was actually my first brawl, so there was a lot of adrenaline. The game was really intense because it was a must-win for us, so we were trying to get every run that we could. And after we saw two balls get thrown behind to Sony, I mean, we were on the edge of the dugout ready to jump on the field. And, you know, after all, hell broke loose pretty much. It was just trying to take care of our guys and make sure nobody got hurt. and it turned into a good old-fashioned hockey brawl. But it was fun. It was definitely something I remember, and I remember coming into the clubhouse after that game, and everybody was fired up, and we took that right into the U.S. and stayed with them 3-2 until the eighth and almost pulled it out.
Now, you said that was your first brawl, but have you been involved in any hockey brawls growing up?
I played till I was 15, and we just never, you know, kids that age really don't go all out. It happens, but it just didn't happen for me, fortunately.
And I'm sure that it must be one of the great proud moments of your career, and, you know, multiple moments of your career, not only being able to pitch for the Canadian team in the World Baseball Classic, but also to be able to hit for them.
Yeah, it was an honor just to be on that team and to be considered with all those great guys in the lineup, Morneau and Votto and Saunders, and all those guys really got along well together. And it was just so much fun, that week of baseball. You really can't compare it to anything else.
And is there something that one of those guys or one of the players you've played with, either on the Canadian national team or more recently in the Blue Jays or the Mets organization, is there something that you've taken from somebody else that's really helped you with your game? Or,
you know, really what I've learned over the last couple of years is try to be your own player and figure out what works for you. Take, you know, advice from other guys, but really you have to pay attention to what works for you and not try to be somebody else, not try to be Miguel Cabrera or Josh Hamilton. You know, they're guys to take advice from, but really you have to find out what works for you, and I think that's helped me these last couple months.
Well, thanks a lot to Adam Lowen, now playing center field for the New Hampshire Fisher Cats, Blue Jays, in the Blue Jays organization. So it's been great to talk to you. Thanks a lot, and go Canada.
Yeah, go Canada.
And happy Almost Canada Day.
Yeah.
Do you have a message for anyone that you want to wish back home?
I want to say hi to my parents. I don't know if they'll be listening to this, but say hi to my parents and all the Blue Jays fans back home. And hopefully the Canucks can pull it out next year.
So I won't echo the Canucks statement being from Toronto, but it's definitely great.
But you understand.
I understand, and it's great to wish the Canadians and the Canadian fans back home. And it's great to see so many Canadians now in baseball, which is, I think, a great thing. And in basketball, with Anthony Bennett being taken first overall by the Cleveland Cavs. So it's great to see Canada represented so well in professional sports.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we've ever had a first-rounder, have we? Maybe
first overall.
Jamal McGlure. He's the first rounder.
I think we've had first rounders, but he's the first person first overall.
Yeah, I think baseball and basketball in Canada has really taken off, and that's good to see. Anytime, you know, we already got hockey. It's time to go after those other sports.
Are you a big basketball fan?
I'm really not. I pay attention to football, baseball, obviously, and hockey religiously.
Okay, well, multi-sport man, Adam Lowen, thanks very much for joining us on the Blue Jays From Away podcast.
Thanks for having me.
And that wraps it up for episode number 10 of the Blue Jays From Away podcast. I'd like to thank Kevin Nolan, Sean Nolan, Marcus Stroman, and Adam Lowen. Thanks also go out to Tom Gauthier and all the folks at the New Hampshire Fisher Cats. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter @JaysFromAway, and come on back next week and go Jays go.